never be the guy patience. That would be slow enough to play it. Like, I've just right. got all the patience in the world to follow Gary Busey.
You played the Busey.
One would hope.
The anime segment of the show.
One would hope.
Oh, big American party!
You know, big American party! Oh.
Who's driving? Bill's driving.
Bear's driving! Oh, no, how can that be?
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's the Clerks animated series.
It's the Clerks animated series that was way funnier than Clerks.
Wait, I do remember one thing from the Clerks animated series. It's yeah. the previously on Clerks, on the pilot episode. We're going, I thought that was pretty good.
The pilot episode previously, I heard, and then the second episode was the flashback episode. Yep. And they just kept flashing back to the first episode. That show was brilliant.
Leonardo.
Unfortunately, only had, what, 10 episodes, 12 episodes or something like that?
Six. That's
six?
It.
Six? Really?
I have all of them on DVD.
And they aired it at 11 p.m. on Saturday. Yeah. Like, what a weird time.
They tried to murder that thing. But it was hilarious. I loved it.
Were they half an hour or an hour?
Half an hour. Fuck. Yeah. Yeah. Yep, that's all it was.
Longer than that.
Clerks, the TV show, was great. I loved it. I thought
Big
it was
American
fantastic.
Party.
Have you ever seen the pilot for the television program that was like in the 90s? They were gonna like they there's a pilot that's on YouTube that's like it's like any freaking 90s, you know, yeah. like kind of, but it's kind of like yeah. raunchy, like a little bit like uh-huh. out like yeah. Married with Children. Uh-huh. It's really bad.
Yeah, so it's like somebody took
but.
So it's like somebody took Married with Children and then put Reality Bites into it?
Right, yeah. But Randall is played by Jim Brewer, which is hilarious. So,
oh, well, fuck that. If it's not the original cast, fuck that.
Yeah, it's not the original cast at all. But yeah, Randall was played by Jim Brewer, and that was the original pitch. Go check it out on YouTube. It's time for the Minute of Struck podcast.
Hey, how long have we been recording?
Not very long. Not very
okay.
long.
We've been talking
oh, hi, I'm back
while.
Again.
Gus is back this week from his long stay from somewhere else. I don't know. It's whatever.
Parts unknown.
Parts unknown. We're here again, all of us. And we're going to be talking about stuff that we played this today. And then we're going to talk about Red Dead Redemption a little bit. And we're also going to talk about the Blizzard games for the SNES. Correct? The original
yes.
the original Blizzard games before they got into their PC, before they became PC Master Race. They had a lot of real SNES games that I love Lost Vikings. I think that game is awesome. It's fantastic. I love it. Gus, turn your phone off. No,
it's actually turning on right now.
Okay, yeah.
That was already off.
If anybody can hear that, that's the laundry in the background. Hope nobody can really hear that. Probably can, but... Sorry, that's what this is. We're a professional podcast here, people. I don't know what else to tell you. So, but yeah, we're gonna get right into it, guys. What you guys been playing? Do you want to go first, Hoss, or do you want Gus the guest to go first? Gus,
I'll let the guest.
Gus the guest going first. What you been playing, Gus?
Dark Souls.
All right, moving on.
Dark Souls. This is a game that was sitting on my Xbox 360 for about 2.5 years. I bought
right.
it on a holiday sale
mm-hmm.
when my library was starting to boom
right.
after I had caught up on everything.
Sure.
And it sat there for 2.5 years. I didn't bother to touch it because I heard about the difficulty. It's like, oh, it's a really hard game. And I'm like, oh, well, maybe I'll save it for later.
Right.
And then when I finally got around to it this year, I was like, you know what? I kind of really want to try this out because I was, you know, a bunch of folks on Twitch that were playing it, and I was meeting some folks that really liked the game.
Sure.
Talking it up and saying, no, it's hard, but it's fair. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll give it a shot. It looks pretty cool. I'll give it a good college try. And I was instantly addicted to it.
Instantly addicted.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question?
Sure. Mm.
Were you at all tempted before you started to actually play it, even though you owned a copy, to buy the PC version because it would look better?
No. No, I did. I did never cross my mind, actually.
Hmm.
I thought I own the game, so I did. I'm still in the mindset that I don't need to buy it again, even though I have violated
right.
that rule a few times.
Yeah, like I've got a 360 copy of Skyrim sitting on my shelf that I maybe played for 8 hours, but I still fucking bought the PC version because I was like, you know what I want? I want Macho Man Dragons.
Yeah,
right. Macho Man.
And I do have Macho Man Dragons. And it's so good.
Macho Man Dragons.
Yeah! You know what's great is when he just swoops overhead, but you don't know he's coming yet, and you just hear those wings flap
yeah.
and then he goes right overhead and you're dig it
dig it
that's my personal favorite. Dang it. All right, sorry, keep going.
I remember watching the YouTube video of that. And in the background, instead of hearing a dragon howl or something like that,
it's
the Macho Man's coming. The Macho Man's coming for you. Yeah. Anyway, but. Yeah. I am 80 hours or so, almost 80 hours in that game, 75 hours I'm into Dark Souls.
Sure.
Which anybody could have beat that game.
What's
by
the
now.
What's the most recent boss that you beat?
Most recent boss I have beaten was... Who did I... was...
So you've beaten Ormstein and Smaug.
Oh, yeah. I've been S and O&S.
The Gaping Dragon.
They were probably the most difficult. Yeah. I beat four kings. And what the hell did I just go through? It was not New Londo. It was one of the.
I don't know.
Oh God, not bad. What I have left, I have Bene Chaos left, and I have Glaive Brave Lord Nito, and I have, of course, the final boss Gwyn.
Right.
Spoilers.
Spoilers for that game that has two sequels.
Right. Exactly.
There's bosses in that. Wait a minute.
Remember the damn name of it. I forget. That's gonna drive me nuts.
Gaping Dragon.
Gaping Dragon's like the second guy. He's easy.
Wolf with Sword.
Sif.
Dragon on Bridge.
Dragon on Bridge.
Two gargoyles.
First boss, Bell gargoyles.
Yeah.
And that's the second boss, actually.
Yeah. So.
But I have two of the four Lord Souls. Let's put it that way. You need the four of Lord Souls to
four Lord
open
Souls
the last area to kill them first flame. Anyway.
Right.
So, I love it. It has made the list of my all-time favorites.
Oh, there you go.
It actually has my all-time favorite game.
Here's a question. If you got into the air, where I stopped playing it, I was underground, and it was dark, and assholes in, like, Grim Reaper cloaks and giant skeletons were shooting hilariously large arrows at me.
Probably in either the Tomb of the Giants or in the Catacombs.
Okay.
Which are linked together. So if it's really fucking dark and you literally can't see a damn thing and you have skeletons, you're probably in the Tomb of the Giants.
Okay.
Yeah. You're supposed to have some kind of lantern or a spell in order to see your way through there. Otherwise, you're just like, oh, well, I'm just walk this way and I'll fall off a cliff.
Right.
So.
I mean, you know. They're tough, those games. They're known for their toughness.
It is a very difficult game, but it's also fair. If you die in that game, it's your damn fault.
Right, yeah.
So. Although there have been a few times where I wish I could just roll past somebody, but their hitbox is preventing me from rolling out of the way, and I can go along around.
But
there's been a couple of those instances, but it's a lot of fun. I could talk all day about Dark Souls. I'm sure we could.
That game doesn't have the advent that Dark Souls 2 did that I really appreciate. Is that in Dark Souls 2, if you're in an area for a really long time and you just keep killing the same guys, eventually they just don't respawn.
They don't respawn.
It's like they prevent you from being able to power level.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it also makes it super convenient. Like, I'm just trying to beat this fucking boss. I'm so sick of fighting these goddamn knights. And it just kind of takes it away.
Yeah, I did a lot of grinding. Most of my grinding was done in the depths of farming rats for humanity.
Right.
You didn't do the thing in the forest?
I did do a little farming in the forest. Finding the dudes, the thief.
That's really good leveling right there.
It is. You get a lot. And then I found out how to item do boss souls. So
right.
I
was
like, I'm not going to do that shit anymore.
Whoa!
which is a speedrun tactic.
A little fucking decorum here, sir.
Let's play the game fairly here.
Yeah. All right. And then I got tired of burning hours of time leveling and just to get 25,000 souls.
Right.
But then I also discovered the co-op. Well, I didn't discover. I just didn't want to do it because I didn't like the idea of being invaded and my progress being hindered.
Right.
So I decided to start helping others beat bosses. And I figured to be online to be invaded, you have to be human.
Yeah.
But you don't have to be human to be summoned by someone else.
Right, yeah.
So I started taking advantage of that. I would lay my summon soul down right outside the Simone Ornstein boss door, and of course I'm like soul level 91, and I still get summoned by folks, and they're like, hey, this is within my level range, so hey, I go in, and then there's Solaire and one other guy, and the four of us just like Simone Ornstein are down in no time, and I got 25,000 souls for that.
That's pretty cool.
So I spent an afternoon helping other guys beat bosses.
Yeah, so I always wonder what they rewarded people with the whole like calling you in. I assume you just get the souls along with it. Otherwise,
you get one humanity to your stat.
Right,
it's not an item, but it's a stat humanity.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So I like that co-op aspect where you just summon in whoever from somewhere. That's fun.
Seath the Scaleless was the last boss that I beat.
There you go. Boom.
Duke's Archives. Pain in the yeah.
Keith Clown Kicker.
Keith the Clown Kicker. Likes to kick the clowns. He's one of the four soul bosses.
Anything else exceptional?
As far as game-wise or Dark Souls?
Game-wise.
I was playing... through the Steam Stale. Steam Snails.
They're delicious.
A little salt and they're great.
A little salt, a little steam. It's good.
A little PJ salt. Anyway, on the Steam Sale, I was to get a little experience or trading cards or whatever. You flip through your
sure
your discovery queue, whatever you call it, every day. And so I usually just like thumb through it because nothing ever picks my interest. So.
Sure, yeah.
But one of them did, and it was called Hacknet.
Hacknet. I have heard of this game. It looks really cool.
I had not heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of looked over it a little bit. And it's like, okay, it's all it is there's a terminal.
Mm-hmm.
It is a Unix-based terminal.
Terminal, yeah.
With a little bit of a user interface, like a little square, and then a representation on the left-hand side that represents how much of your memory you're using, which is not a lot. which is used to run your hacking programs. Anyway, the story behind the opening story to Hacknet is a well-known hacker in the hacker ring community has gone missing. Actually, well, it tells you right out at the beginning. It says, if you're reading this message, I'm dead.
Right.
And you are tasked with finding out exactly what happened to him,
mm-hmm.
why,
yeah.
and then finish what he was out to start.
Right.
It has to do with this... state-of-the-art operating security based operating system that it was probably overly incredibly intrusive,
right?
This OP security system he didn't want falling into the hands of whoever was of whatever,
right?
Anyway, and you end up digging through emails and stuff between the owner of the company he was doing the job for or whatever, finding a misunderstanding between him and the other guy. Turned out to be some fucking hitman, I guess.
Of course.
There's no voice acting. There's no cutscenes.
Right.
It's just text.
Right.
It's probably the neatest text-based game I've seen since Zork.
Right. It's a real callback from what I've heard. It's like a real callback to those old text-based type adventure games.
And it all uses actual Unix-based commands, and it does a pretty good job of teaching you how to play it in the beginning. It tells you exactly what to type. Mm-hmm. This is what you do if you want to delete something. This is what you type when to change directories. The whole CD/ thing. Those of you who are familiar with DOS back in the days, this will be a quite a refresher as far as a game goes.
Right. Or Commodore 64, comma 1, let's do this.
type, and it's got a pretty neat soundtrack.
Right.
It's like Carpenter Brute, and if you're electronic music are in this game, it's actually really neat. So I spent $7.50 and I got the soundtrack with it. It was on sale for $5.
Yeah.
It's like a $10 game. It was on sale 50% off. I spent an extra $2.50 and I got the bundle with the soundtrack, and it was pretty neat.
Yeah.
I highly recommend it. It's about if you know what you're doing, it's about 11 to 12 hours. If you don't know what you're doing, it's about 15.
Right.
So it took me about two or three sessions.
Yeah.
To beat it. Now, sure. It was one of those games that I sat down and started playing it. When I got home one night at like 11 o'clock at night, and then I played for a little bit, and then I looked at my clock and it was 5 in the morning.
Right.
So,
there you go.
It's one of those. Hacknet. Go check it out. Boom. It's on Steam.
Hacknet. It's a good game. Seems like a good game.
I've had that happen with small games here recently.
Right.
Like, I've found that maybe this is an old man thing,
but
the older I get, I really like the idea of coming home, buying a $10 game and having a one-night experience with that, you know, 4 or 5 hours, get that thing out of the way, and I can walk away and feel like I accomplished something. It's like Call of Duty campaigns. The reason why I always like playing them is that it's like 5 or 6 hours. You can play it on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And, oh, great. Oh, that's done.
Yeah,
that's it. That was the whole thing. I just saved the fucking planet. What the fuck did you do on Sunday?
Exactly. That's why I like the Call of Duty. I like Call of Duty campaigns for that reason, too.
They're fantastic for that simple reason. It's like, is that necessarily a great value if you don't like to play the multiplayer very much?
Right.
Maybe not, but everybody's cost to value ratio for that? Like, what is an hour of gameplay worth to you? I don't know. Like, if you go bowling for an hour, it might cost you $15 or $20.
Right.
You know, you go to a movie for an hour and a half, and that's $15.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know what an hour of your time having enjoyment is worth, but, you know, it's like if $10 is too much to pay for a 2-hour game that you're going to take something away from, mm-hmm. like, you know, Journey is a perfect example of this. Hour and a half long game that, like, what is this, 3-4 years later?
Right.
I still think about.
Right. You still think about that.
Is that on Steam?
No, that's PS3 and PS4.
PS3? Okay, I'm going to check it out then, because I never did play Journey.
That game is incredible.
Fantastic.
That's what I'm told. It says like an hour and a half.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. I can play it in the afternoon.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
If you're not worried about having a digital copy of that, they made a disc that came with Flow, Flower, and Journey. Mm. And I think you should be able to get that thing used for less than $10.
Mm. That sounds good.
Because Flow's interesting. That's a game that you should probably play for 15 minutes. It's really, it was the student project when they made it.
Yeah.
Flower is still today one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in my entire life.
Is Flow based on the Progressive Girl?
No. Okay. It is not based on Flow from Progressive Flow Auto. From
Progressive Auto.
I might have to go down to the lame stop and check that out.
Yeah.
No, the Flow's really cool. Flower is, a lot of people claim it's a little bit stuck up its own ass. It's the game where you basically are the wind and you drift through and you pick up flower petals.
I do remember
these flowers.
Oh, yeah.
You unlock areas and you're basically bringing life back to this world. And every level is on the static background where it's like, you know, a dense urban city thing. Right.
There's something similar to that I saw at PAX West.
Yeah.
Formerly PAX Prime. They quietly changed the name of it.
Because more people go to East.
Right.
That's why it's not Prime anymore.
It is no longer Prime.
But, subprime mortgage.
Subprime.
I don't remember what it was called, but you're like a bird or something like that.
Yeah.
Or some kind of a bird thing or whatever.
Oh, is that the Ubisoft VR thing?
No, it's not an Ubisoft game. It's totally indie. It's an indie thing.
Because there's an Ubisoft VR game that's totally that.
And it's based on like your.
I don't know.
It's not, you can't like fly. It's mostly gliding and riding wind and stuff throughout the, and it's mostly, and it's just an aesthetic game. There's not really much of a goal to it.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But I thought it was really neat. It was a lot of fun. I played it for about 20 minutes.
Are you thinking about Entwined?
No, it's not Entwined.
Okay, because Entwined, you're two birds, and you control them independently on sticks, and it looks fucking nuts. But it's like a tube shooter almost. Like, if you remember, like, Gyrus or Nitrous Oxide or Tempest, it's like that. But you're these two birds, and it's like, wow, this is one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. But it's a bad Tempest.
Yeah.
That's a shame. Anyway. Else?
One more.
One more.
When I played, when I went to play the Avena games at PAX East this year, there was a game called Hopiko.
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 Mm-hmm.
And it is an 8-bit graphic style 2D sprites.
Mm-hmm.
Speed type of game. I'm very vague on the actual story of it. I guess you're like inside like video game systems, or basically you have to save gaming from the inside or something like
Interesting,
that.
Interesting, yeah.
It's basically shooting from platform to platform through obstacles in order to make it to a goal.
Cool.
And it's designed in the spirit of like kind of a speed game to zap through as quickly as you can, avoiding obstacles and stuff. But it's got a really neat chiptune soundtrack to it.
Yeah,
it's developed by a guy named Rob Allison.
Cool.
And I expressed to him how much I liked his soundtrack, and I didn't realize he was the composer. He whipped out this Game Boy, this old school Game Boy. He says, "I made it with this."
Yeah, yeah.
I said, "You're shitting me."
That's awesome.
I said, "That's really awesome." And
he
says, "Here," and he gave me this code.
Yeah.
No, he says, "Go to this site, whatever here, and you can." It was on Bandcamp.
Right.
And you can download it for nothing.
The whole chip
for free, as long as you had that code or something like that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it costs you like $10 or something.
That's awesome.
Like, well, thanks, man. Yeah, I'll check that out. So I went and downloaded, and it's I have it at home, and it's a really neat soundtrack. So it's on mobile. It's on Android and iOS right now, I believe.
Nice.
It's like $2.
Yeah, sweet.
$1.99, and it's being ported to Steam the next month.
Yes,
it should be coming on Steam next month.
I brought up an article here that said that it's coming out on Steam in the next month or so. This is a while
August
back, though.
So
it was around in August when it's going to be coming in. It's got some real Robotron-type graphics going on. Some old school-style kind of bit looks. to it. So
yeah, I almost bought it on my phone, but then I thought, I'm gonna wait for the Steam.
Wait for the Steam, yeah. Then we can play it on the stream. How about that?
Play it on the Steam stream.
On the Steam stream. On a Twitch stream. Check that out. Maybe so that'll work.
Maybe we can play it on Shore Leave.
Shore Leave. You gotta get some Shore Leave going.
Yeah, play this on Shore Leave.
Play it when I get on Shore Leave.
I don't believe that we have podcasted since I played the PlayStation VR.
I don't believe we have either. No.
All right. I'm going to make this incredibly brief.
Do you want to go first? Or do you want me to do mine real quick? Go ahead.
You can go ahead.
Are you sure?
Yeah, you can go.
All right, cool. Yeah,
I was just thinking out loud.
We usually end it with you. That's okay. All I'm saying. Like,
well, and that usually lets me know how much time I need.
That's true. Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and go with mine. The two games that I played Boxbox Boy.
Yes. I told you to play that.
Yes, you did. It's for the DS. 3DS.
Yes, okay. Yeah. That's why I'm playing.
It's for the 3DS. This is the sequel. The original was Box Boy. I just went ahead and grabbed the sequel, which is Boxbox Boy. Yeah. Came out recently because apparently it's the same freaking thing, just with different, you know, stuff.
More options and stuff,
and it looked cool. But basically, you're a little box man. You're a little box boy. It's all it looks very, 2D and everything.
Super fucking
like
happy.
It's like the Impossible game?
It's, no. Because it is a puzzle game. It's not an action puzzle game, but you can make boxes. So you sit down, squeeze, and you poop out boxes. And depending on which level you're on, you can poop out two boxes in some, and some you can poop out three, some four. And you can pop them out in whatever shape. So you have a Tetronimo, basically like Tetris, so you can make one that's straight up. You can make one that's an L shape. You can make one that's the steps, stuff like that. So you can make whatever Tetris shape you want to make, except for the one in the middle. You can't make that one.
Yeah.
The T shape. Yes. You can't make the T shape. But basically, you just got to go around, avoid spikes, and jump up. You can use it, make it like a hook. Jump onto it and then zoop yourself up the boxes. It's a really cool game. I'm stuck on World 7. I've beaten all the levels, but I'm missing two of the crowns, and I'm not moving on until I get all the crowns. So
the thing I really enjoyed about the aesthetic of the first game and the second game I've bought and played them both.
Yeah.
The thing I like so much about the look of that is the monochrome vision for the aesthetic to that. So it's just, it's a black and white game. It looks like something that you would have had on a Game Boy. It looks like something that, you know, would have been in a fucking arcade. Mm-hmm. And the white is not really white.
Yeah.
It's almost like...
It's like a mother of pearl. It's like dirty... Yeah, like...
So it looks like... Think like Steamboat Willie Disney cartoon.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I'm walking down a train. Like, fucking that bullshit. Like, that's the kind of fucking black and white that it is. I'm like, oh, this looks great.
Yeah.
And that fucking... Really... That box boy is... super stoked to be making boxes. And I really like that game.
It's great.
Sounds like one of those games you wouldn't expect to be fun.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Kind of like Threes or...
Right. You wouldn't expect...
Katamari.
Yes, but it's just like... It's just a super fun puzzle game. Very isolated in what it's supposed to be. It'll teach you a new trick with the boxes every world you go into, and then you just utilize those tricks. I'm sure later on it'll get into a system of where you are making... use of things prior, but right now the levels are very much like, oh, you use that trick some more in this world, and then you go to the next world, they teach you a new trick, and then you just use more of that trick. So hopefully when it gets later on, I'm assuming it's just you've learned all this stuff, now go! And it's gonna be insane. So, that'll be fun.
Those games get fucked up, man.
Yeah, right? Yeah, so, great music, too, by the way. Just calming, nice music, nothing's intense. You're just meant to go, let's think about this for a second. Okay, now I've got it. Boop, 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 boop. And then I go up in steps.
And that's the thing that, you know, you'd mentioned chiptune stuff earlier. And I like a good chiptune soundtrack. Don't get me wrong at all.
Sure.
But I feel like we're kind of on chiptune overload.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. I've noticed it a lot more.
Been a lot of it. Like, yeah. There's almost... And some of it is just... it's almost like, do you remember the loudness wars where, like, every record in the 90s started getting progressive louder than the one that you listened to before, to the point where, like, if you had your volume set on your knob, it's like, oh, shit, this new record, like, fuck. And it's almost like chiptunes are doing that with tempo, to the point where, like, most of these games that are, like, inspired by, like, Mega Man soundtracks, it's just, like, fucking exhausting to listen to. It's like, I don't...
That's kind of what Hopico's like.
I want to lay down.
Yeah, Hopico soundtrack is very fast.
Other game that I played is not has no soundtrack.
It's not a game.
No, it's a game. It's definitely a game.
Is there a spider in it?
There's a spider in it.
It's not a game.
It's not a game without a spider. It's called Return to the Obra Den.
Are there mans in it?
Return to the Obra Den. The Obra Den is a...
What the hell is that for?
It's right now, it's not for anything. It will be on Steam, but it was done by the guy who made Papers, Please. Papers, Please. Are you intrigued now?
Yeah. How the fuck did you get this?
you go to dukeope.com, dukeope.com, download it. It's not on anything right now. It's on that site. You can also download Paper, Please there
is
as well.
Is it a Flash game?
You can also probably get Republic of Times there, which is their...
Yeah, probably him. As well, but yeah. Unsolicited. You can see the Sea Has No Claim. You can get all the... Yeah, Republic of Times is on here as well. You can get all of them on dukeope.com.
Papers, Please was so good.
So good.
I love Papers, Please.
So Obra Den is basically, you found this old this old ship called the Obra Den, and you go up on top of it, and you have... there's no real explanation. Like, you just go on to this thing.
Does
and
this game have graphics?
Yes.
Okay,
it does have graphics. It's very simplistic graphics, though. It's very, like, it's like it's drawn.
Is it pixels?
Okay. It's sort of like vector. So okay. It's like, you know, it's there's no coloring. All right. It's just you have, like, vector graphic. But the whole thing is, you go on there, it's first-person view, you go on the Obra Den, it's an abandoned ship in the middle of the... it's this big mystery. Your job is to catalog who these dead people are. There's all these skeletons everywhere and how these people ended up. So you have this magic watch... doesn't explain how you have this. You go up to one of the skeletons that you find, and you click it, and it will revert you back to the time of when that person died.
Holy shit, this is cryostasis.
Wow. It's cryostasis, and when you go through the whole thing, you pick up clues, and you have to mark down who these bodies are.
This video game is cryostasis, and cryostasis is fucking awesome!
Your whole thing is to write down the names and figure out who the people are based on, you know, like, just clues that you find.
All their games are about documenting
shit. It's about documentation.
You're not solving anything. No. You're just documenting
it. That's all you're doing. So you're just documenting all the names. You have a big list of things, and you have to document the names and what their crew, who they were in the crew, whether they were a guest, crew member, all that stuff. You have to figure all that out.
There is
because you'll find names like on the ship, but you don't know who they are, and be like, was that a crew member or a passenger? I don't know. I have to keep going back in time and figure out who these people are. It's just a demo right now. It's not a full game.
I can't focus on anything anymore.
GDC demo build version 0.1.23. Download. Okay, I will have to.
It's a good game. It looks like a cool game. I can't wait for it. But I remember somebody saying that it was on Game Grumps, and they were like, "It's by the guys that made Papers, Please." And I was like, "Well, I'm sold with that."
It's like name Lucas Pope.
Yeah.
I will. Yes, please.
Yep. So I went out and I grabbed that. So it's on dukeope.com, dukeope.com. Go check it out. Go download it, and it's the demo. And it'll be a good time. So there you go.
Yeah,
it's not out yet. It'll be coming out on Steam and all that jazz. So, but yeah, go check it out. Are you okay? You seem super.
Hoss has his hands on his face with this really, really big cheesy grin on his face.
He does. He has the smile of a child.
I want to play this game so bad.
He has the smile of a child.
It's from one of my favorite developers.
Yep.
And they made a game that's like one of my favorite games. Holy shit.
I'm glad I was able to enlighten you to this.
Oh, fuck,
I'm
man.
I'm very happy about that.
Yeah, I'm going to go home and play that fucking thing.
Yeah.
What were we talking about?
You were going to talk about your games now, because I'm done.
So, he doesn't want to. He just heard about about Obra Den.
Right?
To play it.
All right.
So I just heard about this game.
All right. So, number one.
Oh, pardon me. No, I kind of cut that out. We're fine. Keep going.
Perfect. I guess first thing I'll talk about is the PlayStation VR.
Yes.
PlayStation VR. I have been chronicling on this podcast over the last few months,
mm-hmm.
I have used a release Oculus.
Mm-hmm.
I have used an HTC Vive.
Yes.
I've used a Gear VR, the thing that you put one of the Samsung phones into.
Yes.
And now I have played a PlayStation VR.
Yes.
The most important thing about playing the PlayStation VR is that I played a game that I had played on the Oculus.
Right.
So now I have a comparison. It's not just apples and oranges of sure. what's what.
Right.
And I'm not necessarily going to be... I won't drill this into the ground too far. But I played...
good game?
The Eve Valkyrie. Thank Valkyrie. God. I just blanked there for a second. Holy shit. This is fucking, you talking about Uber Dead. Fuck my head up, man.
I'm glad you enjoy that.
That's one of my favorite games sounds was cool. fucking Papers, Please. All right. So, yeah. So I sat down and they had a few non-interactive demos. It was inside of a Best Buy. They had like a kiosk set up. And I was like, well, I should probably go fucking check that thing out.
Sure.
So I go and I wait in line. A couple of people sitting there. And I got to have a really good moment. There was like this lady that was like in her 50s that they just grabbed and said, hey, you want to try this VR headset?
Yeah.
And, you know, totally felt like a plant to them because she was like reacting so much to it. And I was like, well, that's sweet of her.
Right.
but yeah, so like they, she was, the cool thing about the PlayStation VR, I don't know if you guys know this, but they have an output that still goes to your TV. Mm. So if somebody else is in the room, they can at least see what you're doing.
Right.
Right on.
Yeah. Which is cool. So you're still getting sound and all that other stuff.
Right.
So, you know, they basically put you in the sound deprivation thing. They put the headset on your head. They put the headphones on. And she was playing this non-interactive shark demo where you've probably seen bits and pieces of this. You're in one of those shark cages and they lower you down in the water and it starts getting attacked by this big great white.
Right.
Pretty cool. I did that one for a few seconds afterwards because there was still I was the last person in line. Mm-hmm. And I was like, can I see, like, a couple of minutes of that thing? And he's like, eh, fine, whatever. But, yeah, so I got to watch other people use it. And then, like, everybody else wanted to do the non-interactive stuff or one game called Headmaster, which is pretty funny. It's a soccer game where you're hitting soccer balls with your head. And all the soccer balls have a lot of attitude, which is pretty funny. It's kind of like that Angry Birds-ish game that they made for the Vive where all the personality spheres are yeah. pretty funny.
Right.
So it reminded me a bit of that. But, yeah, so I sat down with Eve Valkyrie because I wanted to get a controller in my hand and I wanted to I knew that would be the most graphically intensive thing that they had, and it's something that I had seen on a computer at full blast before.
Mm.
So I sit down. First thing that I notice is that the headset is incredibly light.
Mm.
I really like that. It is probably the best 3D headset I've ever put on.
Right.
There's something about the build quality of this that you can tell, oh, this is a multi-billion-dollar multinational corporation that made this thing.
Right, yeah.
It's not... Well, we started with an idea of, you know, like ski goggles and then went from there.
Right.
It feels very ergonomic. And the thing I really like is that there is a nice button in front where you can jack that thing up on your eyes.
Yeah.
Number one thing I recommend you do is that they say, like, oh, you can keep your glasses on. Don't fucking do that. Take your glasses off and jack that thing as close to your fucking retinas as humanly possible.
Yeah.
Because that's going to give you the widest field of view.
Sure.
Because when I first put it on and I had my glasses on, it's going to, and my glasses stick a little bit farther from my head.
Sure.
It's going to stick about an inch away from your eyes.
Right.
As opposed to, like, half an inch from your eyes.
Right, so it's offbeat from where you're...
It's more like you're in a movie theater, not like you're in a world.
Right.
It's like you're sitting in front of a really big TV, not in a fucking video game.
Sure.
And I did the same thing that I did when I played this on the Oculus. Mm-hmm. First thing I do, fucking jack that thing up in my face, feels real good. They put the PlayStation controller in my hand. I wait for it, and then, granted, this is not final code yet, an internal load screen. Whoa! But granted, I also remember the load times not being super fucking good on the PC.
Sure.
But so I'd sit through this long load, and then you're in the cockpit, and I'm looking around, and I'm like, oh shit, I'm thin! You look at yourself, and you're like this rail thin individual. I'm like, God damn, I'm skinny.
Not used to this.
Yeah, it's woof. My dick looks huge. God.
Haven't seen this.
Done.
So, yeah, I jack that thing up on my fucking face. I sit down and I start playing it. Here's the thing that everybody wants to know.
Mm-hmm.
With how weak the PlayStation 4 is compared to a high-powered PC, are these games going to look like dog shit?
Right.
No.
No, they will not look like dogs.
They look great.
Okay.
Does it look as good as a high-powered PC? No. It does it...
No one would assume it would, I don't think.
I'll talk a little bit about the game. The game, like, you know, at very far distances, you can definitely see some aliasing start to happen around objects, some pixelizing, some just little fit and finishy kind of things. But I never got the impression that it was of the quality of the headset.
Yeah.
It's just that, well, that game's a huge space shooter, and there's hundreds of aircrafts in the sky, and it goes really far. Space is pretty fucking infinite. I don't know if you know that. I think a lot of that is that.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the build quality of this headset for $400. Granted, you have to buy one of the wand things and one of the cameras, so you're talking closer to $500.
Right.
That's a pretty fucking good headset, you guys. If you really want to do that.
Yeah.
And you own a PlayStation 4, so you don't have to justify paying another $350 for one of those.
Sure.
And you're wanting to give it a go. That seems pretty cool. Although, the one thing that I would say first is that these launch games do not look very fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Eve Valkyrie's cool, but unless you're really hyped for a space shooter, I don't necessarily think that's going to give it to you. Like, for me, that might be enough just because I really like space shooters, and I grew up on, like, X-Wing and TIE Fighter and shit.
Sure.
Yeah, in Free Space.
You know, my favorite games.
They're really good. Like, you know, even shit like Descent. Like, give me a Descent game in VR. Fuck yeah. But, yeah, like, I just, you know, hearing that, like, the Batman Arkham game is, like, less than an hour and it's $30.
Yeah.
Oh, what?
Yeah, it's less than an hour.
The new Batman game?
The Batman Arkham VR.
Arkham VR. VR.
Okay.
Yeah, it's less than an hour and it's $30.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
No.
And most of these games are going to be small at first because most of these developers that are making this stuff, they're testing this out. And the other thing I've heard is that, you know, pretty much everybody who got their hands on Resident Evil 7 in VR at E3, because that game doesn't do the, I don't know if you've seen, like, the jump to position stuff, like most VR games, you're not walking around freely.
Right.
It's like you teleport to an area, then you teleport to an area.
Okay.
Yeah, because walking around and looking at the same time in VR gives you the VR. It gives you the VR sickies.
Right. Yeah. It gives you a little bit of the.
And the thing that I've heard, I haven't had it happen to me yet, but I've heard from quite a few people that the VR sickies are really bad. It's not like a roller coaster where, like, 10 minutes later you're pretty
okay.
It's
really bad motion sickness.
I've heard it's like 7 hours where you just feel like you want to die.
Right. God. Yeah.
And, like, a lot of developers that were working on these games were like, I don't feel so good, you guys.
I think we found the uncanny valley.
I stared into it and it looked back.
The abyss looked back.
Woo! I blinked. Yep.
I blinked.
And then, other than that, I won't go on for too much longer. I played and finished Read Only Memories. That was really good. Mm-hmm. I like that. That is kind of like adventure game meets RPG, meets crazy 8-bit graphical styling. Sure. Some good humor in there. I like that game a lot.
Yeah.
I think it was made by some lady. I don't know. I got it for like $1.
It was made by some lady.
I played some Duke Nukem Forever on my computer.
Why did you do that?
I played like fucking 3 hours of that one day.
Why would you do that?
I have that game on 360.
The game is fucking terrible.
It is so bad. It's so bad. Why would you
play it? There's one advantage to playing it on the computer, because I played some of it on the 360 when it first came out. I played a little bit on the computer. The huge advantage, those incredibly long load times are gone because it's a computer.
Well, yeah.
Obviously. Like, those huge load times are just gone.
So you get to get back into the action real quick.
Yeah, like,
is that a positive?
Like, all those current era jokes, like all those Olsen twins jokes.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I had that game on 360, and I was, oh, like, every time you died, I'm
man,
like, fuck.
Wouldn't that have been an amazing little bit of something if, like, he, like, the whole thing, like, the whole idea was that he was, like, pulled out of cryogenic stasis, right? And he was still stuck in this time of, like, really bad humor, and everybody else is just like, who the fuck is this guy? That would have been made that game amazing.
Yeah, if every human being that you encountered just fucking thought you were dog
shit. like, why the fuck did anybody think you were, and, like, he has to, like grow up.
Duke is the guy from your high school that never moved out of his mom's house.
Right. Oh, man.
She got divorced and she married fucking Rick. And Rick's a fucking asshole, so I'm just watching after, okay? It's not that I can't afford to live by myself. Rick's a fucking asshole.
So I'm looking after my mom.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, is that it? Okay.
I gotta wait bench in the garage.
What I thought was really funny about that game is I've met John St. John's several times.
Oh, yeah?
And I've worked with him at YumaCon before.
There you go.
And he's a really great guy.
I'm sure.
He will happily do any impression of Duke Nukem
sure.
you ask him to.
Yeah, he's reading a word off a page. It's not his job for the comedy to be good. Right. He's not writing it.
Yeah, exactly.
His panel at the at YumaCon.
Is that the one where he read 50 Shades of Gray?
No.
Have you seen that one?
I haven't seen that one yet.
No, haven't.
Now open your mouth.
No. It was either that or a panel idea he had.
Yeah.
At YumaCon, he told us he wanted to call it "Don't Blame Me, Duke Nukem Forever Was Terrible."
Oh man, there's actually some entertaining people that I know that were behind that game, and it just was that there was the writing on the walls with that was like pretty quick.
I view him and most of the people that ever worked on that project,
right.
like the people that work for Foxconn in China,
right.
it's not their problem that they work for a terrible fucking company. All they did was their job.
That's all they did was their
job. That's it.
They were paid to make this
to the best of their ability.
To the best of their ability. It's not their fault that what they're doing is shining a turd.
Yeah, misguided vision and horrible financial practices are not their fault.
It's very true.
That's like,
it's
very true. You know, it's okay for you to dislike the way that a company does business, but when people make it personal towards an individual person,
yeah.
I'm like
what? Yeah, chill out. Unless it is Phil Fish, then it's fuck him. let's be honest.
His fucking Serengeti hat that he's always wearing, the motherfucker.
Is
there anything else?
Oh,
I'll end it there.
Okay, cool.
Duke Nukem Forever, everybody.
There we go. Don't go play Duke Nukem Forever.
Play more Pokemon Yellow.
That is an anti recommendation. Go play Pokemon Yellow. Yeah, go do that.
Yellow's okay.
I did get my Duke Nukem bust from the Balls of Steel edition.
Oh, did
signed
you?
By John St.
John. Oh, that's good. Yeah, I mean, you know, so. You're gonna get a signature. You want the Balls of Steel signed. All right, let's move on to our topic of the day, which is our old ass games, our classic games for today, which is we're gonna lead into the first one, which is Red Dead Redemption.
Never played it.
It is in the news again. Because
yes,
it's what is it? It was download. It's for free. What was it?
It's Xbox One backwards compatible.
Backwards compatible. That's what it was. Yes,
there is. Funny that you say that. There are free things with that though.
Yeah.
First of all you have to own is either the Undead Nightmare disc. That was the standalone expansion that they made. It was like that less than $20 version that just came with that DLC Undead Nightmare and
sure.
all the other multiplayer DLC.
Sure.
Or the original game, and you get everything.
Yeah.
You just throw it in your system or have a digital version of Red Dead on your account, and you get everything. You get all the DLC, all the multiplayer stuff, Undead Nightmare, everything.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool of them. They just kind of made a turnkey solution of, fine, fuck it, everybody gets everything.
Yeah.
Yep. So I did not like this game when it came out very much.
Interesting.
I did not give this game arguably near its credit.
Okay, yeah.
Just because I think Grand Theft Auto 4 is one of the best games of last generation, and when this game came out, I didn't think this game was as good as that.
Interesting.
The ways that Grand Theft Auto is loud and boisterous... This game is exactly the inverse of that and quiet.
It's quiet,
subtle. And its humor is very subtle.
It's dry.
And
it's like a Bill Murray dry humor with this.
It's very good.
Yeah.
The one of my favorite things about Red Dead, returning to it, and this game is rapidly becoming one of my more favorite last generation games.
There you go.
At a very quick clip here. I think I'm also older and have grown in appreciation for slower games now. I think Alien Isolation taught me a lot.
Right.
Yeah. Like, because now I'm playing the new Hitman.
Right.
And I would never be the guy patience. That would be slow enough to play that. Like, I've just got all the patience in the world to follow Gary Busey.
You played the Busey.
Gary Busey.
I have the power of visibility.
motherfucker.
Did you kill Gary Cole? Did you kill him too?
No.
No? Did you follow
him? But he's not a target in that.
He's not, but you can follow him and you can kill him as well.
But so. I found Gary Cole first.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, Cole and Busey have to find each other. So just following Gary Cole around, who's just making angry phone calls.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Constantly. which is great. It gave me this. They really played, like, the Gary Busey character in that, they really play up the Busey, and yeah. In this, they play up Lumberg from Office Space, where Gary exactly. Cole is just a fucking dick.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
That's pretty funny.
So, I tie that back into Red Dead
sure.
by this game just having a very slow-pouring, mm-hmm. Methodical nature to its storytelling.
Yeah.
You know, and a really good example of this that I like so much
mm-hmm.
is... All right, so you'll go talk to somebody who's obviously fucking been in the sun too long,
right.
Fucking crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And James Marshall will walk up and be like, you know, it's probably not safe for you to be out here in the desert this long.
Yeah.
And somebody will just say something completely fucking off the wall back to him. And he'll just, like, kind of, like, scratch his, like, forearm for a second.
Yeah.
And just look at this person like... Oh, you're fucking insane. And then just reply back in a very calm way of, like... Well, I reckon it's none of my business then. I like the way that James Marsden, his character, interacts with individuals
John
around.
Marston.
Sorry. Am I saying James?
You said James, yeah. It's John Marsden.
James Marsters is the guy from Bones. Yeah. Sorry, that's John Marsden.
John Marsden, yes.
John Marsden, I really like the way that he interacts with people around him. I still think that game suffers from, and I guess you can kind of make this a Red Dead Redemption episode, and also the evolution of Rockstar's open world.
Their open
format.
World. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This game struggles from a lot of things that Grand Theft Auto 4 and a lot of other open world Rockstar games suffer from. It's like
sure.
You have all these missions where, like, I do a mission for person A, and I end up fucking at the end of this mission, I'm on the other side of the damn world, and I gotta fucking walk back,
well,
ride my horse back.
Right, yeah.
And it's... This game doesn't do a very good job of making the act of traveling somewhere as exciting as I want.
Sure, sure.
And there is a fast travel. I know that's the number one thing that people are saying, but yeah. A lot of times it's not where you need it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, well, I have to ride halfway there to get to the fast... I might as well not detour and just fucking go straight.
Just fucking go straight through.
And it makes some of the downtime in between high moments in this game
right.
feel a little longer than I want.
Sure.
But, man...
Yeah.
When there's highs, there's highs.
There was a feel that I had of it when I played it. There was kind of a feel of, like, Wind Waker. I know there was fast travel. I opted to take the horse ride just because it was, like, I don't know. Like, I hadn't really experienced any of the Grand Theft Auto games before then. I hadn't really played any of them. This was the first one of that caliber that I'd played. So I would, like, kind of just take the ride and, like, be like, oh, this is a big open-ass world here, and I can do whatever. I could go over that way if I wanted to, but the mission's this way. You know, it just that was interesting to me. And a lot of people kind of, I remember a lot of people liking this game a lot, and kind of like putting forward their whole like, oh, is this what Grand Theft Auto 5 is going to be like? Like a lot of people, it's interesting. You said you didn't like it as much as 4 because most people that I talked to thought it was better than 4 and were looking forward to that being like, oh, that's how 5 is going to be. And then 5 like kind of blew everybody out of the water with how it was.
Yeah.
So it was insane. But yeah, just because they had like, it's like they had a bunch of stuff in the chamber. Rockstar had stuff in the chamber. It was like, we're not going to fire that so we get 5 out. Like the whole.
I probably mentioned this before on the show.
Yeah.
The PC version of Grand Theft Auto 5 has a lot of really, really good mods in it.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think my favorite one that I've ever seen is somebody made a mod that floods the world.
Oh, God.
Really?
To the point where the only thing that is above the water are the highest mountains in the Hollywood Hills and the tops of the skyscrapers downtown.
Right.
And so you can go over there and you can, like, take a submarine or you can go and swim and there's just people like fucking floating down there, cars floating everywhere. Holy shit!
Just chaos.
It's Kevin Costner.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
It's really cool.
That's awesome.
But yeah, like I I do respect, and there are moments, sure, like I won't want to ruin any story here or anything, but I have gotten to Mexico.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the ride into Mexico was like a really poignant moment for me in that game. Like it had an emotional reaction with me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I felt things for the character in a lot of ways. I thought that was good. I think they're doing a really good job of, unlike most Grand Theft Auto protagonists, John Marston gets himself in trouble.
Yeah.
But there's an end result. It's not just, oh, like, Nico just wanted a new life.
You're right, yeah.
Yeah.
But he wasn't willing to take any steps to try to make that happen. He just fell back into crime. Because crime always happens, right? And he was still a bad guy. He didn't actually fix himself. Even to the end of that game, he never did anything.
No.
Other than just make sure that, like, well, everybody that was a problem is now dead.
Yeah.
My girlfriend died. That was the whole thing. That's spoilers. But, you know, I think that what they do in that game is paint Marston in such a fashion that it makes sense that, yeah, I can see he's trying to fix this. Mm-hmm. He just really can't.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
They do a really good job with him, you know, of giving you a reason why, well, of course he needs to do this.
Right, yeah.
You know, he's not so kindly asked by the government to do what he's tasked with doing.
Yeah.
And it's okay, so for, we'll consider that like C in this equation, A and B need to happen.
Yeah.
And then on the way to actually completing C, fuck, D, E, and F have popped up, and those have to be addressed before I could ever even dream of attaining my goal of C.
Right.
So it does a really good methodical job of storytelling that is very un-Rockstar-like in a lot of ways, but I also think informs where I think the team will go next.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that they end up doing in Red Dead Redemption that is almost not really like what the rest of the Rockstar family of games tends to do is really give you reasons and excuses for why you have to associate with the dregs of fucking society. And, you know, John Marston ends up being a man of the people to a certain degree by, you know, associating with crooked charlatan snake oil salesmen, you know, sheriffs that don't necessarily have the town's best interest in mind in a lot of situations.
Yeah.
And he does it not only to get what he wants, but you, from his interactions with people as these side stories move along, you can see that he has grown an understanding of, oh, that's who this person really is.
Right, yeah.
Sure. And it's nice to see that, like, in Grand Theft Auto 5 hops back in significant ways, in my opinion, by just everything that you do just feeling like a distraction.
Sure.
Like, nothing feeling like it adds up to anything.
Yeah.
Them abandoning side storylines almost as soon as they show up in some cases.
Right.
Yeah. Like, well, that was what Steve was working on, and he fucking left, and fuck him. You know, we'll leave the missions in here, but, like, there's no real resolution to any of that.
Right, yeah.
And it's definitely weird. There's a lot of, their games are always, in my opinion, known for having, like, these dangling threads everywhere. And you're like, what? What was some of this? You know, did you do it just to do it? Or did you just kind of get into the writing process and get lost and go, eh? Or was it time? I don't know.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that I guess is most important to talk about when you're going to mention Red Dead, and it's why everybody keeps drumming on and on and on about getting a PC version of Red Dead, is that on the Xbox One, playing the backwards compatible version, It is notable that this game does run at a couple frames higher a second and tends to maintain world clarity a little bit better than it did on the 360, which is kind of out of the ordinary. It's usually hoping for parity at best.
Right.
This one actually seems to be benefiting a little bit from the increased hardware. They were also working on this one for a while. I don't know if you remember, like almost a year ago, this game like popped up on a weekend of like it was available and Microsoft pulled it down like immediately. They were like, it was just a test.
sorry. Pay no attention.
So they obviously, I mean, with a franchise as big as Red Dead, from a company as big as Rockstar, you know, if you're Microsoft and you want your backwards compatibility to be a big splash, you're going to spend the time it needs to get spent on making this worthwhile. But it looks like they did a really, really good job. This game, even today, you know, 5 years later, because it came out in summer of 2011, this game still looks fucking ripping, dude.
Yeah, right?
I think this is still the best looking Xbox 360 game, and I never had any doubts about how great this that game looked.
Right.
But there are so many games from that generation that we're not even that far away from it that you look back on now and you go, woof.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. yikes. Yeah. That was not great.
And there's a lot of games that, through things like backwards compatibility or even like these HD editions, that come back just looking worse in some ways. Like that fucking Marvel Ultimate Alliance 1 and 2 bundle that came out this week that's broken and looks worse than the 360 versions.
It reminds me of the Silent Hill HD collection.
Yeah.
God awful atrocity.
Yeah. Fucking the Silent Hill SD collection is what they call it.
The SD collection. Because it worked off broken code for that was the not finished from Silent Hill 2.
I remember that.
There was fog missing where there was fog shouldn't be.
Right, yeah.
Or where the fog should have been.
Yeah.
And you're seeing like areas of the world you weren't supposed to see. So you see worlds out there that drop off and environments that were not finished.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Backwards, and like all the dogs that you're supposed to just hear and not see, it's like, well, he's right over there.
Well, he's right there. Backwards compatibility is hard, you guys. It's hard.
And here's the thing, is that backwards compatibility, I accept when backwards compatibility has blatant issues because, hey, this isn't the native hardware, shit happens. You want the real thing, go get the real hardware.
Right.
But when you're going to repackage something and fucking sell it to me, better be good.
Yeah, right. you better have that worked out by the time it gets to me.
And I take a fucking hardline stance on this. This has to look and perform better.
Mm-hmm.
It's why I was so angry about that God of War 3 version last year.
Right.
That remaster did not look better than that PS3 game, and they brought it out when you could have got a used copy of God of War 3 for $3 and they brought that up for $40, it felt like a fucking sham.
Yeah. It was a literal like rehashing of
If you bundled 1, 2, game. And 3 together and whatever, it's $40, fine.
Yeah, exactly. But one game for $40 that doesn't look any better on the remastering
beforehand.
It's a big reason that they didn't bring back, if you notice, you'll find all the Tom Clancy Splinter Cell games available on Steam except for Pandora Tomorrow. Pandora Tomorrow used something called shader buffering, which was only possible on the GeForce 3, 4, and FX cards.
Oh, okay.
And they were able to fix it a little bit later, get it to work on some driver versions up to 175.18 or something like that on the GeForce 780.
Sure.
Just 780. Yeah. But after they do drivers later than that, it just the lights and shades don't render properly. So that's why that Ubisoft and them, they can't get it to work or haven't bothered trying to get it to work properly on newer hardware is the reason why they haven't prepackaged it and released it for anybody on digital things. You can still buy a hard copy of it.
Yeah.
It's just not going to render properly.
Right. Yeah,
That's actually something that's worth mentioning is that there are a series of video games that were optimized for voodoo cards back in the day. They used Glide technology. It was only in the 3DFX chips.
Yeah.
It was only certain models of it, but it made games that ran on the Quake 3 engine look killer.
Right.
And it smoothed out all the hard edges, and it made all the lighting pop better, and it just looked really good.
Yeah.
So if you go get a copy of Alice now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And go play that.
Yeah.
It doesn't look as good as it did then.
Right.
Now.
Because,
because
they can't replicate it. They can't make that anymore. They can't replicate it. It's like, you know, it's like trying to make a game on MS-DOS. It just doesn't, you know.
I was a 3D effects mark.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because they always made sure that their Quake games looked better, and I was a Quake guy, so right. I was like, fuck yeah, I'm getting Voodoo till I die, and then here we are 17 years later, and I'm like, I would still buy a 3DFX card if they made it, because I bet Quake 3 would look so good on it.
My first video card was a GeForce 2 MX200.
There you go. Question, Haas, would you classify Red Dead Redemption as a quality remastering it's not a remaster, right?
No, it's just the old game.
As a quality port, I should say. Sorry.
Yeah, it's a quality you know, backwards compatibility video game. I have taken a lot of umbrance. Pay me a dollar. That was a good word.
That was a good word. It's a dollar word.
That word for you. You know, I've taken umbrage several times with the care and feeding of some of the backwards compatibility games. Some of them do not perform very well at all.
Sure.
And others perform perfectly. Like, Mass Effect runs better than it did on the 360 on the Xbox One.
Yeah.
Which, now that they have multi-disc support, hopefully they bring 2 and 3. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
But a lot of them, like, Gears of War 3 drops frames at spots that it didn't drop frames before, and that really fucking bothers me.
Yeah, right.
Dark Souls has something broken on the backwards compatibility. Item discovery stat does not raise at all.
Oh.
I discovered that, went back to my 360 version, and suddenly all these rare items are dropping. I'm like, I'm playing this on 360 from now on.
Yeah, there you go.
One thing with this game that is very important to mention is that if you are going to return to Red Dead today to play the single player game, you're fine. Go ahead, do it.
Right.
If you're returning to that to go back to the multiplayer, you can't go home again.
Can't go back to that, yeah.
Because it is broken. Mm-hmm. It is actually broken to the point where it will almost never load up games. Everybody's cheating.
Yeah, like, and
the people have, like, escalate, like, item creation and stuff like that, and it just crashes the game.
Yeah.
What's this again?
Red Dead.
Red Dead?
Oh. Red Dead, yeah.
The multiplayer stuff in that game is harsh.
Yeah.
And it is not functional, and it's apparently been that way for, like, 2 years, and Rockstar's never fixed it.
I mean, it's a deprecated game at that point. Like, I don't think they really care about it. It's dilapidated, and they don't really... I don't think those servers will be up within, you know, a couple of years anyway. I don't think they care.
It's sad.
Maybe when Red Dead 2, if they ever do a Red Dead 2.
We used to ride around, I didn't play much of the single-player game, but we would ride around on bulls in the multiplayer, and I would wear a sombrero, and that was pretty fun.
I mean, it's like maintenancing multiplayer for Grand Theft Auto 4. Like, why bother? Like, it's just, why? Why are you playing Grand Theft Auto 5 multiplayer?
Here's the thing that I would say to that, and, you know, like, no is a perfectly fine answer.
Right.
But why is it not worth it for you to do the due diligence to the 25 million people that bought your $60 product?
Agreed.
100%. I understand that, you know, that this isn't the newest one. But why should that... there isn't a new Red Dead.
It is the reason... Yeah, exactly. It is the reason that I covet single-player campaign modes so diligently in this time of multiplayer-type aspirations, because I liked it, and maybe this is just the old man in me, I liked it when I bought a game and I owned that game, and I played that game, and nothing could take that game away from me in the fact that I had that game. With so many single-player campaigns and more multiplayer things, I'm renting that game until those servers go down. That could be years, 10 years into the future, where I never want to play that game again. But if I want to go back and play an old game, I can stick that game in, and I don't have to worry about the multiplayer server holding up or not working or not plugging in properly or whatever.
I'll say this.
Dilapidated, deprecated, I can't play that game anymore, and that would suck.
I'll say this. On the computer.
Right.
On the personal computer, maybe you've heard of it.
On the PC. It's been around for a little bit.
You can do what I did.
Yeah.
you can buy Quake 1.
Yeah.
And you can buy Quake 2.
Right.
And they still fucking work and people still fucking play.
It's true. It's very true.
Counter-Strike original.
But
people still play it.
Sure.
It's 20 years old.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Absolutely. People still play CS. They love playing Counter-Strike.
Dude, like 1.6 for life, bro.
1.6 for life, brother. But no, yeah, absolutely. Those things still exist. Some of them will always probably have a thing, but it's just that mentality of like, I'm not buying a game to own it. I'm buying it, you know, because there's nothing to play on it anymore. And it's a weird mentality that I can't grasp in a lot of ways. Multiplayer is that way to me. It's just like, it's only there for as long as the next step, and then it's not there anymore. And then I don't have that game anymore.
Like, to me, sometimes, multiplayer, touting multiplayer is like artificially inflating replay value.
Right, yeah. It's like, you know, it's like Tony Hawk 5. It's like Pro Skater 5. You didn't buy a game, you bought a tutorial, and then you had a 7-gig patch when you put it into the game.
To be fair, that's not the only problem with that.
But that's a big deal. It's like, so basically, when you have that game 5 years from now and that patch doesn't exist anymore, you have a $40 tutorial. Like,
The 30 gigs of patches for Halo the Master Chief?
Oh my god.
Oof.
Don't get me started.
30 gigs.
And another game.
Patches. Patches. That's what you call a patch, is it? Like, that's not a patch. That's the game, asshole. I don't like that.
The version history on that thing.
That's the entirety of a human's medical records.
It's that mentality that I just don't like that. I don't like that thought process, and I don't like that any game developer. I don't like any game developer leading in with that sort of mentality. It's like, well, we can score it off of this for a little while, dump that server, and you know, move on to the next thing and reap out some more cash from those same people. When I used to be able to buy a fucking game and have it. I don't know. That's just me. Maybe I'm the crazy one. Maybe I'm the old man that's shaking his fist in his lawn.
And here's the thing is that everybody on PC can mod games.
Right.
Everybody on PC is capable of changing a game in really any way that they see fit.
Right.
But there's almost like an agreement of honor to a certain degree of, we're not gonna fucking do that here. It's like, yeah, like a lot of these servers will have like VAC bans and stuff like that.
Right.
They're like, you know, it can get your entire Steam account locked down for cheating and things like that.
Right.
But for the most part, a lot of this is just like a gentleman's fucking agreement of, we're not gonna fucking do that.
Right.
But like on consoles where you can't really mod, you can kind of only just exploit glitches and errors and code.
Mm-hmm.
People seem to get like way more vindictive with it to the point where it's like, oh, well, everybody else is doing this, we're just all gonna do this. It's like, who is that fucking fun for? Like, who's having a good time right now? I hope it's nobody.
Yeah. I hope that's no one. I hope no one's having a good time. Well, and Blizzard did the same thing. They shut down that WoW server that was a fan server forever that was the original WoW. Didn't have any of the
vanilla WoW.
It was vanilla WoW. Didn't have any of the, what do you call the things? Barracks or something? Mm-hmm.
Ballistas.
Ballistas. Yeah, didn't have any of that stuff. It was just,
didn't have the motorcycles.
Didn't have the motorcycle. It was old school WoW, and that's what it was. And a lot of the old school fans liked that thing. And they shut down that server, which they are within legal right to do. No one's saying that they don't have any legal right to do so. But it pissed off a lot of fans because it's just like, you're not bringing back. There's no way for us to play original WoW that we like to play, and you're not giving us that platform. And now you're taking away the only platform. Mm-hmm. You're being dicks, like, because we don't want to play your new fandangled way of playing the game. So
it would be untenable.
Yeah.
For them to host multiple instances of that.
It would.
And
yeah.
Here's the thing that like is really complicated. It's why Disney is so litigious. It's why so many companies are so fucking quick to sue send a cease and desist against other companies. It's because if you set a precedent that you don't stop this,
right,
you will lose your next court case because you let something slide.
Right. Yeah.
And it's why Nintendo always, they'll let something hang out there for a while, And they're like, come on, guys, just fucking say you're going to stop. And then eventually they finally, yeah, Nintendo shut us down. It's like, you fucking made us.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And
yeah. Except for Earthbound. They don't give a shit.
It's when you file for a patent, you have to prove that how you're going to defend that patent. Otherwise, you risk having it invalidated.
Exactly. And except for Earthbound, Nintendo doesn't Nintendo doesn't give a shit about Earthbound to the point where they'll let them pirate whatever the fuck they want. Which is kind of sad.
You mean Mother 2?
Mother 3. And Mother 2, so I don't know.
That game is weird.
That's it's more sad that Nintendo doesn't care that it's being pirated than that they won't re-release it. That's how little they care about Mother 3.
I moderate for a channel that was playing that game on Twitch.
Earthbound or Mother 3?
Earthbound. And Earthbound. That game is weird.
Earthbound's awesome, and I want to play it.
I don't understand the appeal of this game. I guess I had to have played it back then in order to appreciate it now, but I'm just looking at it now. I watch this and I'm like, I don't really like this.
I named all my characters when I started playing through it last year, like Bojangles and Honkbag. So it's like, Honkbag and Bojangles are best friends.
Hey, Honkbag, how you doing? I'm
Bojangles. Not for the camera. This is a moment.
So that's the names that is on that Wii U over there?
Yeah.
Great.
I recommend you pick up my save game because there's some real good names in there.
There are good names in that one, huh?
Yeah.
So, I might start that over.
So what about these Blizzard guys?
I don't know. We might skip that to the next time, actually, because we've hit the hour 12 minute. Yeah. Oh,
really?
Yeah. Hit the hour 12.
We talked too long.
That's fine. I kind of like that we have something else to talk about next time.
Next time, we're going to talk about Blizzard on the SNES and maybe another game because I don't have a million things to say, but I would really like to talk about the era of Blizzard that we don't talk about.
Yes, agreed.
The era of Blizzard that it was basically like a two-headed dragon at that company, and there was the company that was making Warcraft, Orcs versus Humans, which was Warcraft 1.
Yeah.
And there were the teams that were making these weird games for the SNES, like Blackthorn and Lost Vikings and Rock and Roll Racing, and we have to talk about the lawsuits for Rock and Roll Racing.
Yes.
For all that music shit. but yeah, next time we'll talk about Blizzard. And let us know if you got a game that you want us to talk about for next time. Maybe we can use that, if anything. We'll be back for more.
Thank you, guys.
I should be available for the next cast.
Okay,
if you
cool.
Like me to
cool.
Stop by again,
Gus. It's good that we've had you on because we are twice in a row.
Oh, that's a record.
Two weeks in a row. Big deal. Because we are doing our charity stream soon.
We need to talk about
doing our Extra Life live stream coming up. That is the weekend of October 29th. Correct.
It's on the 29th.
The Mirazon offices here in Louisville.
From the Mirazon offices.
The beautiful and scenic here in Burbank, California.
But yes, we'll be doing it there. We've done this the past 2 years, had a good turnout for these so far. But we raised money for Corsair Children's Hospital. It's through the Extra Life charity system. What do they call that?
Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. Yes. Corsair Children's is part of that network.
Yes.
Everything we raise goes directly to Corsair.
Yes.
We've raised $3,000?
$3,000.
Since year one, yes.
Yes.
It's over $3,000.
It's over $3,000 since year one. Cool. Yes. Over $3,000 since year one.
Because it was almost $2,000 last year, wasn't it?
It was. It was
near close. It was like $1,700 or something like that.
Yeah.
$1,600.
And y'all got about $1,400 the first time or somewhere around there. About $1,200, $1,400, somewhere around there.
First time.
Yeah. So this will be the third year doing it. We want to hit, we want to make a new goal of hitting some good stuff. We got a lot more listeners to the podcast now, which is great. I encourage you guys to go to our Twitch page. It's on twitch.tv/videodestruct, or you can go to videodestruct.com/twitch. That has our feed on there, and you can go directly to our real Twitch page from there. So we'll be having lots of videos on that to go check out our Twitch pages. We'll be doing some live streaming. Eric's got another setup going. He's going to be doing some live streaming. He wants to live stream some Dead by Daylight. That might be a game we play on there.
Oh, that's Russ watched him playing that and said that he's fucking terrible.
I mean, you know, it is Eric.
I haven't had a chance to watch it. I want to see it because the game sounds cool. Russ said, that man is the worst at fucking video games I've ever seen in my life. And Russ ain't that good.
The legend continues.
Oh, man.
Well, it's funny because...
I'm not making this up!
Well, that's the thing, because it's a scary game, and we know how Eric plays scary games. He doesn't fucking move anywhere, because he's too terrified to do anything. But that's funny.
I want to go to the woods with him and just go... Right? Cha-cha-cha. See what he is, what he fucking does.
He will freak out. He will do that. He, like, anytime we're, you're in a spooky situation, you start, like whispering or doing something spooky, he will be like, dude, stop. I'm not joking. It's hilarious.
Have you seen the trailer for the new Blair Witch?
I have seen the trailer.
That looks really fucking good.
It looks interesting.
That Kong Skull Island thing looks really good, too.
Kong Skull Island does look...
But it's got John motherfucking Goodman in it!
But so... Like, the thing is, Godzilla looked good, too, and it turned out to be not that good.
But it's got John Goodman
in it! It does! Godzilla had Bryan Cranston, and they killed him off in 20 minutes. So when
that
they...
That was like...
So when they kill off John Goodman 20 minutes in and it becomes a bad movie... I'm going to be irritated.
She really hated that new one?
I didn't hate it. I just thought it had a lot of missteps, and it wasn't as good as the first 20 minutes. The rest of it just fell flat. The first 20 minutes was amazing. The whole time you're following...
Like when Mothra showed up and shit? That was cool.
Well, when you're following Bryan Cranston, and you're just like, hey, this is like a cool story, and like he has a reason to be doing this. And the moment he dies and you're on his son, you're on Kick-Ass, and you're just like, I don't care about this guy at all.
That's a fair point.
I don't care about this guy at all. And the moment...
Should have killed his kid.
Yeah.
And then it's Bryan Cranston just like with a fucking crossbow.
fighting the Mutas with a crossbow. That'd be okay. And the moments where the beasts are on screen and the moments where Godzilla are on screen, fabulous. Fantastic. But it's only 8 minutes. It's an hour and a half movie.
It felt longer than that.
It does feel longer.
I believe you.
But it's literally 8 minutes that Godzilla is even on screen. That's counting when he's under the water, when you can't even see him. So it's 8 minutes of screen time.
You know what movie did it right?
Yeah.
Pacific
Rim did it perfectly.
Pacific Rim.
Do you not like that movie?
I never saw it. I've refused to go see it. I don't know.
You look stupid. How about that?
Come check out our live stream.
Do you have a Twitter?
I do. Be 24 hours of that.
I don't have a Twitter. I do have a Twitter, but it's for my other podcast. Twitter.
You got one. It's at Video Destruct.
It's at Video Destruct. That's the Twitter that I use.
He runs the Twitter.
I run Twitter. What's your Twitter?
Follow me on Twitter. I am at Justin Airplane. That is my name. JUSTIN Airplane. It's so clever.
Yeah.
Two words.
He's a pilot, guys.
Because I fly in the airplane.
He's a pilot. He flies planes.
High speed aluminum tubing transport.
He's just an airplane.
Get it?
It's a funny one. Okay, yeah. I work in high speed aerial aluminum tubing transport.
I always like the name Justin Lightning because he could be like.
Clever.
There was a wrestler dude, Justin Lightning, and it's like, oh, I get
Justin
it. Justin
Lightning.
Like you could literally be like a self-help dude, like in that same vein. So there you go.
So yeah, anyway. I tweet about stuff, games. I'm on Twitch at twitch.tv/shattermage. That's how it sounds. Shattermage.
Shattermage.
I also tweet about the Green Bay Packers. They're playing this weekend.
That's true.
The NFL begins.
NFL begins.
I don't care if it's a Hall of Fame game. It means nothing. It's still football. I don't care.
Aaron Rodgers will take 3 snaps.
Right, yeah.
That'll do it.
And hopefully
Jordy's on the
hopefully doesn't get on the injured list again. Anyway, so
he's on the pup right now.
Yeah. What's that?
He's on the pup right now. We can't talk about
that part.
Hey, he tweaked his knee last week.
Oh,
son of a bitch.
Jeez.
His other knee.
His other knee.
Well, he didn't tear anything. He just tweaked it.
All right, okay. So he'll
be fine, I'm sure.
Anyway, so twitch.tv/shattermage. How long that will be lasting, go to my channel and
yeah.
You'll learn about that. I have a whole post on it.
Yeah.
It has to do with my internet provider.
See what happens.
I'll be joining these guys October 29th.
Yes.
It'll be a 24-hour stream on that channel and on twitch.tv/videodestruct as well.
Yep.
Hoss!
I'm going to be real sweet for the people at home right now.
Okay, are you?
I want you to follow me on Twitter.
All right.
At Hoss, H-O-S-S, _buddy, B-U-D-D-Y.
That's pretty good.
And also, go out and buy the new Rip Rogers.
Rip Rogers!
Everything old is new again, baby.
Yep, everything old is new again.
Brand new Video Destruct produced DVD that I somehow convinced a 70-year-old wrestling legend that these two guys... were equipped to make, and we somehow fucking made it, and people are buying it?
I don't know how that worked out. Go figure.
Congratulations, your debut documentary film debut, I guess.
Documentary film debut. There you go.
GamersTruck.com/rip, R-A-P.
Yep, R-I-P.
To pre-order it.
Yeah. It's already out.
Or buy it.
Well, and the first 25 copies are signed. We still got a few copies left that can be signed. So, and we'll probably do some more signed printings later on. So yeah, keep your eyes open for that. But if you definitely want one, go ahead and order now.
Yeah.
And also, Rip Rogers, another thing that we did for him was we set up a t-shirt shop for him on ProWrestlingTees.com. If you want to go look at a bunch of curse words that Brandon wrote out and some really dumb ideas that I had, go check that shit out.
Go check that out. It's pretty okay. Best seller is the Hustler shirt.
By far. I have seen a lot of the fanny pack ones on Twitter recently.
Have you? That's awesome.
Which is pretty great. That's probably my favorite.
That's a pretty good one, yeah, because they always have the championship belts.
Yeah, he's just got a fanny pack that says, that's a fucking strap.
That's a fucking strap right there. But anyway.
But yeah, I'm really proud of the work we're doing. We should have a podcast coming out weekly from here on out. That's why you'll notice that some weeks, you know, like pretty much every other week, we'll be covering news, and then the next one we'll be covering kind of what you've been playing, and then obviously we're still going to be doing old-ass games on all these for the most part.
Yeah.
Well, here and there, if it's a news-heavy week, it might basically just be
the news.
That and maybe like a game I've reviewed or a really deep talk about a news story. But for the most part, we're going to try to do old-ass games at least every other week, and whenever news is a little light, we'll do one every week. But yeah, like we're moving towards some fun stuff, and at some point, if you know, we can kind of prove our worth and get the output where it needs to be to get us some better equipment, I would be interested in the idea of doing a Patreon.
Yeah, Patreon. And
but I'm not comfortable with our output yet.
Yeah.
To the point where I feel like we would be deserving enough of, even if it's just somebody giving us a buck a month.
Yeah.
I don't
of anybody's money, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's somebody else's money.
Right.
And I want to make sure that we're putting out the kind of content that's going to be representative of what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And Russ has told me many times that he would give me whatever for us to do whatever. But I want to
make sure Russ is a good guy.
I just want to make sure that we're making good stuff before we would ever even consider it. So, and I'm not saying that we will do it, but it's something that I've been thinking about.
Yeah, I've been wanting to get a camera set up and a studio type set up for these things,
and green screens, and the opportunity for us to like maybe have a desk to sit at and do like a video show once a week. Things like this that we could produce that would be fun.
Yeah,
I think are where I want to go from here.
Same here, and so we're going to be exploring that sort of thing. But our output is going to be regular now. We're going to be up every week. Should be a fun time. So if not every week, at least three times a month, period. So that is our minimum. If we have to, because we have real lives, we have other jobs.
Yeah.
So, but we will be up three times a month at minimum. At most, we will have once a week. So there we go. But yeah, guys, that's it for this episode. Come check us out on VideoStruck.com and on Facebook. And we did our Twitters. And that's it. We're out of time. We gotta go.
See ya.